I'm Mark Bayshore. It takes an exceptional career in sports to be called a Hall of Famer. Right now, we're going to hear from just such a man. Michigan State's men's basketball coach Tom Izzo was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame this past summer. During his induction speech, he acknowledged his late father, Carl Izzo, who passed away at the age of 90 during the holiday season last year. WKAR's Al Martin got the chance to pick the brain of Coach Izzo here this week, who this time of year is remembering his late father.
Tom, how are you doing, my man?
Not as good as you, the way it sounds, but I'm doing good, Alan. I really am.
Tom, I want to start with it being the holiday season. We're going to start fluffy here, then kind of get into the X's and O's and the nitty-gritty as the interview goes on. I want to start with the holiday season. What do you hope to give to Michigan State men's basketball fans this year?
Well, I do hope to give them a lot because I think they expect a lot, and rightfully so. I think we're still trying to live up to what we try to do every year, and that's compete for a championship. You know, it's been thrown a few monkey wrenches so far this year, you know, a few things that we've had to deal with, but I think we're starting to deal with them better, and I think our team's getting a little better, and this holiday season is going to be a time, even though we don't get the normal amount of time to work because of the Big Ten schedule being crunched in there, very important time for us.
Tom, I gotta know, is Christmas your favorite time of the year? Is this your favorite holiday?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I love Christmas and I love the, you know, family and all that stuff. But this one's a little harder because we have to bring the kids back on Christmas Eve day. Mm-hmm. And then practice a couple times Christmas Day. And then we leave for Minnesota the day after. So schedule hasn't been real fun as far as to enjoy Christmas, but we will get a lot of time with our players, and I'll get some time with my family.
And speaking of family, Tom, this will be the first Christmas without your father. I have to know, around this time of the year, with that being said, how much has he been on your noggin this time of the year?
You know, it is something that you think about, although you think about it every day. That's one thing I learned, that people told me would happen, and in different ways, you know. Mm-hmm. Some sad, some great, some fun, a lot of different emotions, because everything you do throughout the year, you kind of remember. I was just talking to my mother, who was here the other day, and we said, God, it's hard to believe it's almost been a year. And so time passes. I don't think it heals necessarily. It just gives you a better perspective on things.
When it comes to your pops, you know, one thing that you've noted since his passing especially is that one of the greatest gifts he gave you was your work ethic. And Tom, I love going to your practices just like us other media members as well, because we get to see you at work. We get to see what this program has become over the years, what you've built this program into. I have to know, Tom, with that being said and keeping in account your work ethic, what drives you to strive to be the best at what you do?
You know, I got a bunch of things that drive me, you know. Making sure I live up to what he taught me is probably first and foremost. You know, Judd Heathcote, you know, I was wanting to make him proud, wanting to make my own family and my own kids understand what you have to sacrifice and do to be a champion. I mean, there's a difference between winning games and being a champion. But I found myself now caring more about two factors. Michigan State University and what we'd like to get done for Michigan State, you know, get a third national championship, bring more positive advertising for this great place that I work at, and the players themselves, finding a way to see guys work to live to reach their goals. Mm-hmm. And when you see a guy, whether it be graduating, becoming an All-American, sitting in the green room with Denzel or Gary Harris or Adrian Payne and watching a Bryn Forbes, you know, maybe didn't have a chance and now he's on a roster. Those almost make me feel better for other people than anything I could do that makes me feel better for myself.
I want to get to your team now. Not too much. I don't want to dive too much into the injuries, but I have to ask, Tom, with Big Ten play on the horizon, how have you tried to keep the boat afloat when it comes to those injuries? I know it's been a tall task for you.
Well, I think the tallest was last week, you know, when I sat on the bench and I sat next to Miles and Matt McQuaid. This was in the pregame warm-up. Mm-hmm. And the other side of me was Gavin and Ben Carter. And I said to my assistant, Dwayne Stevens, when I went back in the locker room, I said I was just sitting with four starters, potentially. And it kind of gave me a perspective on where we are that I didn't want to like. I didn't like the perspective. But what I've tried to do is tell them the goal is to get better every day. We got to make some improvements. There's some things that we can control, and there's things we can't control. We can control better conditioning. We can control better free throw shooting. We can control better ball movement. We can't control the injuries. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I've tried to look at it.
You look at a player like Miles Bridges, who you hope to have back soon. It's been so cool to see Miles, and you've mentioned this in your post-game pressers, to see Miles on the bench because he is seeing the game from now a different lens than just going out there and playing on the hardwood. What has that done for his development and growth for and potential, looking at how already good he is as a freshman?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'm glad you've observed that, because we told him when he started, he has to sit up by us. Mm-hmm. I want him to hear when I'm mad at a player, when I'm happy with a player, when I don't think a player is doing something right, when I think he's doing something wrong. Last week, we gave him a notebook.
He's got one of these now,
yeah,
guys.
So he's got to write things down that he sees. And he's been great. I love Miles because Miles has been the blue-collar superstar, as I call him. He's not overly entitled. I don't know if it was his family coming up, if it's him as a person. I can't take any credit for that because that's what I got when I got him. Mm-hmm. And thank God I got him that way, especially when you look at the injury and everything. But I think he is a better player. I think he will be a better player if he learns. One time after a game, he said, "Man, coach, this guy's not doing this very good and that very good." And I said, "Did you observe that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you hear us talking about it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you agree?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, 2 weeks earlier, we were talking about you that way."
And, really?
And he's laughed like you did. Yeah. And he says, "I got you, coach."
Nice. I love that. That's a great story. Now, when it comes to Miles, he's so good. He's so young. I have to know, Tom, is he the most athletic player that you've coached?
I think he's the most powerful. Mm-hmm. He and Shannon Brown are the most powerful. I'm not sure you can go past Jason Richardson as
Jason
the most
was pretty athletic, right?
Athletic. although the three of them together could clean a lot of backboards.
How high is Miles Bridges' ceiling?
Oh, I think it's off the charts because he has the 230-pound body. He has the strength. Right. He's got a basketball IQ. So he's not Draymond Green or Denzel Valentine, but he's got a very good basketball IQ. Better shooter than I thought. Just has to learn to become a better defender, learn to be a better offensive rebounder, like a Charlie Bell or like a, Jason Richardson was so good at that. So I think the good part for me is I can take pieces of different guys I've coached. He's so talented and so athletic. I hope to make him part of every one of those guys that were great in their area and put it all into one with him. And I really believe that's what he wants. I know that's what I want. And it's going to be fun seeing if we can do it.
Final question for you. Down the road at Spartan Stadium, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, will be doing his end of year press conference. And I want you to just briefly comment on what has happened this season for the MSU football team. And is it a reminder to every coach out there and everyone involved in athletics that, hey, no year is guaranteed and the slope is slippery? And does that grind ever burn you out, Tom?
No, that's the grind that keeps me going.
Right.
Because I did learn that too in my career a couple of times, where maybe it didn't go too slippery, but I think, you look at certain things that are, we call them the perfect storms. A bunch of injuries, you lose your quarterback, this, that, and the other thing. And he probably won't look at it that way, but I looked at that offensive line at times. I looked at those D-backs at times. I looked at the two games we played with two or three of our starting linebackers out. And you're not gonna be as good when that happens. You hope to survive those
right.
games. We've survived some, we haven't survived some ourselves, but in Mark's case, what I feel comfortable and good about, there's been a foundation built. There's been a first floor built. Now we're trying to build the rest of the house, and that's going to take time, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a 5 year, he started it. The last 4 or 5 years have been pretty good around here. And, you know, a little blip in the radar here, but I have no worries that he'll continue to march forward. He'll learn from this. We'll figure out the few things that went wrong. And I think maybe the one thing that we all have to fear a little bit more today than you did 10 years ago or 20 or 30, because of the social media, because of all the information out there, confidence becomes a big factor in sports. You know, you win a couple games, everybody's talking how good you are, then you got to worry about being overconfident, but at least you're feeling good. But you lose a couple games in this day and age. You know, if we watch regular news, it's 80% negative, 20% positive. If you got on Twitter and stuff, and you don't really understand how much that affects an 18, 19, or 20-year-old. So
right.
Am I coming up with injuries as excuse, Twitter as an excuse, this as an excuse? Take it whatever way you want to. I'm just giving you the reality of what you have to deal with. And I will say this in closing. I don't know many guys that I think are more solid and stable than Mark D'Antonio. But it's hard on especially players. They don't handle those things as easily. And I think confidence will be something, and focusing back on what is the task, what is the goal, get rid of the noise, and let's go get something done.
Tom Izzo, Hall of Fame head coach for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome, man.
You got it.